So what the hell is recruiter enablement anyway? Welcome to episode 26 of Disrupting Recruitment. Today we have Adam Gordon joining us on the show, where we're going to talk about recruiter enablement, what it is, why he went down this path, and his vision for making life much better for recruiters. After this episode, my guess is you're going to be thinking, why haven't we been doing it this way all along? Join us as Adam talks about recruiter enablement. So this is an extremely special episode of Disrupting Recruitment. They say never meet your heroes, but that's not true in this case. I am extremely excited to have Adam Gordon on the podcast today. Adam, it has been a while since we've been trying to make this work, so I am super excited to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
Brad, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be invited on the show, and I'm looking forward to talking.
Yeah, it's we've known each other now for close to almost 3 years. So if you're not familiar with Adam Gordon, crawl out from underneath that rock. But, you know, one thing I will say is when I started Candidate Hub, you were running Candidate ID at the time, and I reached out to you and said, hey, listen, I want to build a company just like yours, and I think there's room in the space for two of us. Do you want to chat? And lo and behold, next thing I know, we're on a call, and you have been unbelievably supportive of Candidate Hub ever since. So I really appreciate that. So why don't you tell everybody about who you are and what you've been up to?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in recruitment since 1999. If you're on the west side of the Atlantic, you might not recognize my accent. I'm not Irish, I'm Scottish. I live in Glasgow, which is the coolest UK city outside London. It's a happening place with a lot going on. I've got a wife and two kids here. The sun's shining. And my main interest outside of sport and music, and especially boxing, my main interest is in making talent acquisition better from the outside. And my kind of chosen method for doing that is by looking at what are all the best processes and technologies in sales, marketing, e-commerce, customer services, and looking at what do we lack? What's our gaps in talent acquisition? And people often say, you know, we are 10 years behind or 5 years behind or 6 years behind or whatever. And I'm not sure how many years we are behind some of these other areas. And actually, in some cases, like in advertising, I think we're absolutely on par, if not slightly ahead of other kind of disciplines. But if I can close the gap where gaps do exist, then for the benefit of talent acquisition, that's kind of what I like to do.
Yeah, I agree. And I know at Candidate Hub, our focus is to bring that sort of e-commerce personalized experience to the recruitment process. And I love the idea of, and I think that's why we got along so well right off the bat, is we both think the same way, that there needs to be more of that sales, marketing, stuff that's working to help convince people to buy product, should work to help people convince people to buy job. And so you've been all around the world lately talking about recruiter enablement, which is a fascinating topic. So let's just get right into it. What are you talking about when you say recruiter enablement? What does that mean?
Well, recruiter enablement at this point means lots of different things to different people. My definition is it encompasses all of the content, processes, and tools that recruiters need individually to make them more productive and successful. And it can encompass a lot of different things. So it can encompass content, as an example. Which talent acquisition teams have got a library for their job adverts? 40%, 50%, maybe?
I think that's being generous.
It might be. Which talent acquisition teams have got a library for outreach messages? 20%? Again, might be generous, I'm not sure. What about for social media posts? What about for objection handling? What about for places to store information about competitors? So I'm working for Barclays, as are five of my talent acquisition colleagues. And we are talking to candidates from HSBC every day. Where's our battle cards area? Where's the place where we store all the information about what we're learning every day about what it's like to work at HSBC and the fact that it's great to work in this team and they pay really well in this team and that team's going through a reorganization? We don't store that information anywhere. So I don't know who's got battle cards. Which TA team's got that? 20%, maybe 2%. Not very many, I don't think. Which TA teams?
Probably under 5.
Yeah, I would think so. Which TA teams have got an area for videos that they can share with each other, which are learnings? This new website or this new social network has emerged, and I've been spending a lot of time on there over the last few months, and I think that you, the rest of my team, will all benefit from this. So here is my 3-minute video so that you can all see what I've been doing on there, how it works. I'm going to screen share and you'll all benefit from that. What I'm finding is that when a recruiter leaves a talent acquisition team, it could be 30%, 40%, as much as 60% of the knowledge that they've had to do their job is going out the door when they leave, because we don't have places to share useful intelligence that can be recycled. And we don't collaborate as much as we should do. And I don't really think there's much in the way of technologies to support that, in the way there has become technologies to support that in sales and marketing. And I'm talking about products like HireSpot. So recruiter enablement can mean it can be to do with data, it can be to do with talent intelligence, it can be to do with what TA Guru does. So this is a product I interviewed their founder, one of their founders yesterday. And what TA Guru does is it's a global library of content about hiring in specific job disciplines. So typically recruiters are not experts in the area that they are hiring within. And if you're an in-house recruiter, you're probably handling 30 recs at one time. And that 30 recs could be across 8 different or 20 different job functions. There's no way I can be an expert, a technical expert in hiring and marketing and in hiring in technology and in hiring and procurement. I can't keep up with the technical, you know, nuances of all of these different disciplines. So how can I talk technical to the hiring managers or the candidates themselves? Well, what TA Guru does is it creates learning for recruiters about here's everything that's going on in all of these different job areas, so that you've got instant access to that. And when a recruiter in one company finds that there is no learning about hiring in a specific, you know, new job area, they request that, and TA Guru will go and produce the video and will go and share it. So everybody subscribing to TA Guru has got access to that. That's an example of a quite niche, but an example of a recruiter enablement technology and process which is emerging. So it's probably quite broad, but generally, I would describe it as the content processes and tools which recruiters need to make them more productive and successful.
Well, you know what they say about happy wife, happy life. And I think the same goes for happy recruiter. Definitely makes for a better recruitment team. So I know you're a big fan of bringing sales tech and marketing tech and all this stuff into recruitment. But what drove you down this particular path?
The simplicity of it. And in fact, I just recorded a video with two of my recruitment heroes, Jacob Madsen and Steve Levy, earlier today. And Jacob and Steve were talking about recruiter enablement and the fact that they've both been in the industry for 30 plus years. And they were both talking about the fact that it is such a simple concept. It is almost mind-blowing that we've skipped it and we've moved on to artificial intelligence and we've moved on to, you know, creating processes and technologies for how we can do recruiterless recruiting, and we've skipped a lot of the fundamentals of where is my library for sharing outreach messaging or for sharing Boolean strings or for sharing simple things that we all need to do our jobs every day. And we're reinventing the wheel because we haven't done this. One TA manager told me a couple of weeks ago that they'd identified three recruiters in their team writing the same job advert on the same day in different countries. And she told me that one of them had written a brilliant job advert and the other two had written terrible job adverts. But they'd all spent about an hour each writing this job advert. So that's 3 hours for one good job advert. And what were they planning to do? Use that job advert. And then next time somebody was using it, they'd have to recreate it because there was nowhere to store it. It just seems like such a simple, basic thing that we've skipped in talent acquisition. And I can't quite work out why we skipped this, but I need to elevate this subject, get everybody thinking about it a lot more clearly, because it's going to make talent acquisition better. And that's why I'm hitching my wagon to this particular subject of recruiter enablement, because it's a quick win.
It's brilliant. Like, I know I've been talking for the last 2 years about the fact that, you know, in marketing for positions, we take all of these candidates that we've brought in and we throw them out, and then we start over, and then we bring all these candidates in and we throw them out and we start over. It never dawned on me that we're doing that with every other piece of the process too, that, you know, with job adverts, for example, like write a job ad, throw it out, write a job ad, throw it out. It just blows my mind that nobody has thought of this. But then again, that's why you're so good at what you do.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because when I first had the idea for Candidate ID, it was because I was, for 6 years, I ran a talent sourcing service company. And what occurred to me was one of our pharmaceutical customers kept asking us for the same people over and over and over again. And eventually one day I said to them, what are you doing with the people we found for you 3 months ago and 6 months ago and 15 months ago? And they said, well, we reached out to them. Some said they were interested. Some said they weren't. Some didn't reply. And I said, okay, the people who said they weren't interested like 12 months ago, are you going back to them now? Well, they weren't interested. A lot's changed for that person since then. So why aren't you recycling all these individuals? Because the well's running dry and there's only a finite number of people. So you've got to nurture these people over time, and you've got to recycle them. And you can't keep trying to find more and more and more new, because that's the law of diminishing returns. And that's why I decided we needed to build marketing automation technologies to nurture candidates properly. And CRM wasn't able to achieve that. So that's why we built Candidate ID. You came to the same conclusion and built Candidate Hub. But I think about the concept of building a marketing automation technology, and that is really complex to do, which is why, you know, not very many people have gone and done it. Yet sales enablement technology, marketing automation technology, sales enablement technology, and the whole thinking around that is much more simple than marketing automation. So, you know, it's mind-blowing that not only are we in TA not recycling our candidates properly, but we're not recycling our content and other assets and tools that we should use. And in fact, one person just said to me earlier today that they've had to recreate the instructions on how to get to the office for an interview multiple times, because they've done it so many times and other people in the TA team's done it, but they haven't actually stored it anywhere. And it's faster to recreate it again and, you know, write it out in that email to that candidate again and again and again than it is to go and try and find, where did I have it last time? Who did I send it to? Where have I stored it? So even really simple things like FAQs, what should you wear for the interview? How do you get to the interview? You know, what bus takes you there, or what train takes you there, or where do you park when you get here? Things like that. We don't really have somewhere to store that. So we recreate it over and over again. We're quite wasteful in talent acquisition. And yeah, it's a big passion of mine to try and reduce the wastefulness.
You know, I remember talking to a company over a year ago now, and they did a lot of that with video. What they found was in the early part of the recruitment process, they were answering a lot of the same questions over and over and over again. And so they actually went out and created these videos that they use as part of their conversion process. So not early on in the nurture process, but when they were getting into conversion and booking interviews and things like that, they were sending these emails with these videos and things. And then they eliminated that first part of the interview where it's like you're sitting across from each other trying to learn about each other. And so they just created this process where, you know, people are coming in and they knew who had put in the effort because they knew the answers to these questions. But it's crazy that we let this stuff all sort of slide and do it over and over and over and over again. I remember even when I was doing sales training years and years and years ago, teaching people to create drafts in emails, like just create a draft of the email that you're going to send out and then forward that draft so you don't have to write it every single time. And that's just a simple, simple little thing.
Yep. It's a very, very good example. And, video is a great example. So, again, I spoke to somebody yesterday who told me that the second candidate who asks the same question, that's the point where this TA team will use ChatGPT to write a one-minute video script, and then they put it into Synthesia, which will turn that video script into a one-minute video. And then it goes into a library that all of the talent acquisition team have got access to. It's stored on SharePoint. So they're using like tools which were not designed for talent acquisition. But what they've done is used other tools that are out there to basically build. That's an example of recruiter enablement. The FAQ videos. She said that for some of them, they've gone and recorded the hiring manager answering the question, so that there is a bit of a human input to that, especially if the questions are about that hiring manager's team, you know, over and over again. What are the coolest things your team are working on? What's the kind of vibe within your team? You know, that type of thing. And that would be another good example of recruiter enablement would be, yeah, videos that you can recycle over and over.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're not doing this.
The greatest advancement in recruitment technology is here. If you haven't seen Shazam yet, do yourself a favor. Their cutting-edge recruitment website tech is making clients across the globe more successful online. Shazam has taken the recruitment industry by storm due to the opportunities it creates and the problems it solves. If you do anything this week for your business, make sure it's booking a time to check out Shazam.
And so how much do you think this is going to impact the recruitment team, like in terms of ease and time saving? And to me, I think a big, big impact that this is going to have is stress reduction and just time saving.
Yeah. I mean, tell me about it. Stress reduction. Absolutely. So at this point, recruiters are having to use, you know, they've got 20 browser tabs open at all times. They've got bookmarks, like 20 bookmarks there. They've got Chrome extensions, they've got apps, they've got widgets, they've got ATSs to log into, CRMs to log into, you know, they've got password managers. It is very stressful. If you can bring a lot of these things into the one area, that's going to save a huge amount of time. And some of the teams that I know that are the most sophisticated in this, companies like IBM, companies like Nestle, they have built SharePoint sites, or they're using OneNote, or they've built dedicated one team, one major, it's a rail engineering company, talked me through what they've done. And what they've done is absolutely amazing. They built a talent acquisition academy. So it's all about learning for the talent acquisition team, more so than what I would call recruiter enablement. But I think learning is an element of recruiter enablement. But when he showed me what they've done, I was absolutely delighted to see it. Now, I think today, it's probably, I mean, even for mid to enterprise companies, it's probably only 5% that have actually done anything about it. And yeah, I mean, my goal is to make 100% of those organizations aware that they should be doing something about it and to share the knowledge on how to go about doing it. If they're using SharePoint or they're using other types of systems that the company has access to, like Slack and Teams and things like that, you know, you can start with these types of technologies and you can collaborate in there. Collaboration is a very important, you know, element of this. instead of recruiters and talent sourcers working in silos, having them sharing with each other a lot better is kind of the main goal. So they're not asking the same questions over and over, and so that they're all benefiting from each other's good work. If we think about a talent sourcing team, let's say a talent sourcing team of six people, one of those people is definitely the best person at creating outreach messaging. But they're probably not storing their outreach messages in a library somewhere so that everybody else can, you know, benefit from that. Collaboration is really, really critical in this.
Yeah. The challenge is that so many organizations don't think about their internal team and the support of their internal team. And if you look back at some of the great sales books like Good to Great, they talk about, you know, he talks about having the right team and empowering them, and they'll deliver, you know, they'll steer the bus for you. So if we want to flip this and put it in the mindset of the candidate, I think this has a huge benefit on the candidate journey, because like I said, you know, happy wife, happy life, happy recruiter, happy candidate.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on that? Like, do you think, how is this going to impact the candidate journey, the candidate experience? Because I think it's nothing but positive for sure.
So I had coffee earlier today with the chief revenue officer of a major SaaS company. He's a Scottish guy. It's an American business, but he's a guy who's based quite close to me in Scotland. And he said that for a lot of companies, the very first point somebody is going to learn about that company is going to be the point where they're approached by a talent sourcer or a recruiter. And if that person is not at least as sharp as, you know, the sales teams that are representing the business, then they're going to get the wrong impression of that as an organization. He was talking about it in the context of hiring for SaaS companies. And, you know, that candidate is going to get the wrong impression of that business if the way that they're approached is not absolutely sharp. In fact, one of the things he said is, he's told his sales teams, if you're turning up on calls with customers and you're wearing a baseball cap, I'm going to fire you, right? So anyway, the point is that, I mean, he used the example of a hoodie as well. I was like, yeah, I wear a hoodie most of the time. But anyway, I get his point. His point really was, if that first stage outreach message or that first 30-second elevator pitch on the phone or on Zoom or whatever is not the sort of thing that, you know, is not as good as what that SaaS business's sales development reps or account managers or account execs are going to use in terms of the way that they're, you know, pitching the organization, then that's just not good enough. It needs to be at least at the same level. So why are talent acquisition teams not using the same types of methodologies and approaches? And I said, well, that's exactly why I'm pushing this particular subject. I absolutely agree with you that somebody described it to me as recruiter experience the other day. If the recruiter is not having a great experience working in that organization because it's stressful to find the information they need to do their jobs effectively, they're going to be providing a shit candidate experience as well, because we all project, you know, how we feel. Perception is projection. And so, you know, and happy wife, happy life, I know firsthand as well. And I agree with that analogy. I think it's a very good one.
I think if you go back, like, have you ever tried to sell a product you didn't like? It's very hard.
I mean, I haven't, but I've seen plenty of examples of other people trying to sell me products that they're clearly not that into. And I've also seen colleagues, when I worked in recruitment, I've seen colleagues trying to represent companies, you know, in the recruitment agency environment, trying to represent companies that they didn't really believe in. They just wanted the fee. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know that that's a difficult job to do.
I know when I was in the agency world, I wouldn't represent a company unless I felt that if I needed a job, I would go work there.
Yeah.
And because I can't sell a product I don't believe in. I remember, again, back in my sales days, doing role plays with a sales guy about our extended warranty. And he said, the customers don't see the value in it. I said, the customers don't see the value in it because you don't see the value in it.
Yes.
If you don't believe in it, the customer's never going to believe in it. So we role played on the value of it. And once his mind shifted, all of a sudden his sales went up. And it's the same thing. If you have a recruiter who's unhappy, who's stressed, trying to find all of this stuff and redoing the same thing over and over and over again, they think about your own position, like how many times it's frustrating when you have to rebuild something over and over again. So if your recruiters are living that life, they're not doing a good job selling your product, which is your positions, your company, your culture. And if they're not doing a good job selling it, you're going to have a harder time converting candidates into applicants, into quality hires. It's fundamental.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have any hard stats on this yet, or the kind of time saving that you could expect by taking a recruiter enablement, you know, approach to doing things. But what I do know is, from some research I've done, an average recruiter is spending about 35 minutes a day on writing copy, whether that's for social media posts, job adverts, outreach messages, handling candidates' objections to get them to say yes, they'll come along to the interview, that type of thing. Now, what I'm really interested to find out, and I've got some research happening to try and establish what this is how much of that is writing stuff that's already been written by a colleague and should be stored somewhere so that everybody can go and access that and doesn't have to write it again. And I take quite a bit of time I spend a lot of time writing. I'm not writing the same things over and over again. And one of my best skills is my writing, but I know that not all recruiters are great writers. So they will often spend longer than they should, or longer than a really good writer will do, on crafting that perfect message. So I'm on a journey, just on in terms of the content side alone, let alone all the other areas of recruiter enablement, I'm midway through a journey to establish what is the time saving for a recruiter every day from being able to just go into a library and select from that library, rather than feeling like you've got to craft something brand new every time you've got a new scenario. And when I started in recruitment, I don't know what percentage of my time was spent writing, but it could have been as little as 5%, 3%, 1%. The only writing I did was a 20-word advert for the back of the newspaper, which I would write handwrite on a piece of paper that would get faxed to the newspaper publishers, you know, to their advertising team. Whereas the person sitting in my old seat in my old recruitment agency is probably spending 60% of their time, I would think, writing today. You know, everything's changed.
You know, I'm not a great writer myself, but I love to talk. And yep. I love to build relationships. And I love to sell. So if we're on a team together and we're working towards a common goal of selling this position to this potential candidate, which is our, you know, product customer, why shouldn't I be able to leverage your writing skills?
So this is it. I've said
to accomplish that.
Yep. I've said this for quite a long time. I really believe that the optimal in a team of, let's say, 30, like 360 degree recruiters, I think six of those people should not be filling jobs. They should be filling pipeline for the rest of the team. So maybe one person who's building pipeline for every four people who are actually doing the last mile, filling the jobs. And when that person's building pipeline, a lot of what they're doing is going to be crafting the perfect outreach messaging, crafting the perfect social media posts, crafting the perfect job ads. And that should be a big part of that person's job. I think a 1-in-4 ratio is quite a good ratio. And the fact is that, you know, as you said, you're a great talker. Nearly all recruiters are great talkers. It might be 1-in-5 who are really good writers. They should focus on that bit. They should focus on the bit that they're really great at, and, you know, let the other people get on with the job of spending more time talking to qualified applicants rather than this 360 degree recruiter kind of approach where everybody does everything. And let's face it, we're not all great at everything. I'm terrible at administration and I'm terrible at project management. So, you know, that was one of the reasons why I wasn't a great recruiter. why I was a good recruiter was because I'm quite a good talker as well, and I'm quite a good writer, and there were certain things that I was good at, but there was others I'm not good at. So we definitely need to split up the tasks, I think. And, you know, your question was, why shouldn't I benefit from your good writing ability? Well, you should, but I should be writing for you, and you should be recycling again and again and again the things that are written for you. And I should be writing for another 3 or 15 or, you know, whatever it is, number of recruiters, where I'm creating that copy that they should all be able to access and reuse again and again and again. And we should be monitoring performance, tracking clicks, all of the things that you would advocate at Candidate Hub, so that we know what's working and what's not.
Oh, speaking my language, man. I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'll keep saying it. Every recruitment team needs a copywriter. If you have a great recruiter who loves writing copy, put them in that role. If not, go hire a copywriter that has no recruiting experience. They'll figure it out. Every recruitment team needs a copywriter. But if you can divide this up, you know, you've got a copywriter, you've got a video guy, you've got, or a girl or whoever, you've got a social media somebody who posts and does all your social media. And then you've got a couple of sourcers who take all of that funnel and sort it into, these are the candidates we need to talk to. And the recruiters are out having conversations with the people that they really are ready for hire. Your recruitment team is going to be so much more productive, so much more effective. It's exciting.
Couldn't agree more. And the best performing talent acquisition teams I see, they have segmented like that. I mean, we're doing it in sales and marketing. You know, the highest performance sales marketing teams, they don't have one person doing brand and also doing out sales development, like contact center, first stage outreach work. They don't, you know, that's not the same skill set. So why do we make it the same skill set in, why do we shoehorn these same tasks into the job of somebody in recruitment? We shouldn't be doing.
Well, we could talk about this for days, but I know how busy you are on your recruitment enablement tour, so I'm not going to keep you for days. But I really do appreciate you being on the show. It's always great talking to you. I get so excited every time we have a conversation, probably because we think a lot alike. So thank you very much, and I wish you nothing but the best in this recruiter enablement journey. I think you're on to something as always, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Brad, thank you so much for having me. Same in return. Great to talk to you again. Always enjoy doing it.